from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It is time to head back out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Joe.
All right, let's go right to him. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. And here we go. And with all these hold-ins and hold-outs, and we got a good one down here. It is funny, Mike, now that I've seen it, and I think watching your quarterback kneel down or off to the side and not involved in very much in practice, 7-on-7 or 11-on-11 or anything else, I think it's a pretty good move by him that everybody in the front office can see that it affects the team a little bit and everything about the team because of the leadership and what Tua Tagovailoa means to that team. Do you agree?
I still think it's better to hold out. I think it's better to not be there. It puts more pressure on the team if you're not there. Now, you're subject to fines.
Yes.
Because he's on his first contract, they can be waived when it's all said and done. But I think it's more pressure on the team because they don't know where he is. They don't know what he's doing. He's still in the building. He's still in the fold. He's just not practicing. And, you know, the hold-in thing in its current form where the team is okay with it. In the past, what it was a reference to a guy who was either exaggerating, embellishing, or fabricating an injury. This is, I'm showing up, and everybody knows I'm not going to practice because I'm in the middle of these conversations. This is the first time we've had quarterbacks doing it. We have it in Green Bay, and we have it in Miami. So it is a new dynamic. I just think it puts more pressure on. And we also have Brandon Ayuk doing it in San Francisco, but obviously he's not a quarterback. We have three of them going on right now. It puts way more pressure on the team, I think, if the player isn't there. And I think the deal gets done faster if the player's not there.
So I want to ask you, this is an interesting thing. It sounds like from everybody the Jordan Love deal is getting closer. Hell, they're already throwing out numbers of what it's going to look like. Does that add more pressure to the Miami Dolphins now? They're going, well, now everybody's officially signed that's eligible or been good enough to get a new contract. The only guy left is our guy.
Well, yeah, Matthew Stafford was another one who wanted his deal to be tweaked. That happened. Jordan Love is probably going to end up with the highest annual average ever in new money. Not that that means he's going to be on paper, full term of the deal, the highest paid quarterback in football. There's a big difference between old money and new money and total value. But his salary is so low this year, it's easy for them to do a deal that would get him to 55.1 or higher, which would make him the highest paid ever. And that's just another data point for Tua Tagovailoa's agents, same firm that represents Love, by the way,
yeah.
Different agents under that umbrella, but they want market value. When Tua said the market is the market, he was saying, I want the market value. And, you know, there are comparisons I've seen floating around coming from his camp that show his performance relative to others who have cashed in at the high end of the spectrum, like Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence. So that's why this isn't done. If they, you know, it's the old, for some reason, Venn diagrams have fallen out of favor this week. I love Venn diagrams. The two circles just have to kiss for a deal to be done. I think the Dolphins, and I don't know this, but I think common sense and paying close attention to this situation for months, the Dolphins have an offer that starts in the 40s per year, and he wants something in the 50s per year, period. And they're not willing to do it. And I don't know who it is that's calling that shot, but, you know, I was told when I started poking into this a long time ago that you know, people in the know think there's no way Stephen Ross is going to authorize, given to a Tagovailoa, $50 million or more per year, when the prevailing thought is a lot of what's going on with that offense isn't about the quarterback. It's about the coach.
Yeah, that keeps popping up. By the way, have we seen enough from Jordan Love? I mean, played great in the second half of the season, that you feel, just from what you've seen and talk about every day and watch his games on Sunday and Monday, that he is clearly a franchise quarterback? Have you seen enough to go, he's going to be one of those guys?
I haven't seen enough to make me think that he's going to be year in and year out like Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers were in Green Bay, but the Packers have. And Brian Gutekunst, the GM of the team, when he made comments about it the other day, you know, it's clear they're sold on Jordan Love. And last year it was rough, the first half of the season. And, you know, when the season ended, there was some criticism of Jordan Love because last year when the Packers were facing the decision of whether or not to pick up his fifth-year option, they weren't going to pick up the option. So he would have been in a contract year last year. So he would have been, you know, in the position to get the franchise tag or hit the open market. But it was explained to me, the fact that he had security going into this year kind of allowed him to weather the storm, and it let the Packers stick with him instead of cutting the cord. And because it was the second half of the season where things really clicked for him. And he looked great down the stretch. He was arguably one of the best quarterbacks in football down the stretch. Can they continue it into this year? That's the challenge. But I think the Packers believe they have their guy. Now they just have to get him paid.
All right, let's talk about the three wide receivers we were just talking about. Jamar Chase, Brandon Ayuk, and CeeDee Lamb. Do they all have deals done before the season starts? And if they don't, are those guys willing to sit out and go, screw that, I'm not playing till you pay me? And
They're all in different situations. And I'll start with CeeDee Lamb because he held out. He's not there. He'll get his contract at some point. That's how you get Jerry Jones' attention. You don't show up. They'll get a deal done at some point. Zach Martin last year, their longtime offensive lineman, held out, eventually got a deal. 5 years ago, Ezekiel Elliott held out, eventually got a deal. Brandon Ayuk and Jamar Chase are in different circumstances. Ayuk's in the last year of his contract, and it's clear that the 49ers want to extend him. They just haven't been able, back to the Venn diagram example, they haven't been able to get the two circles to kiss, and they're going to try to make that happen while he doesn't practice. I think that he takes a back seat to the guy who did hold out in San Francisco, Trent Williams, because the 49ers respond more to the squeaky wheel than the guy who's showed up and is there, even if he's not practicing. Chase is the weird one, Joe, because Mike Brown, the owner of the team, came out and said the other day he's not getting a new contract this year. So what's the end game of Jamar Chase not practicing? Is he trying to get the owner to change his mind when he's already said, we're not giving this guy a contract, we can't do it? All the predictable stuff that somebody who doesn't want to pull out the checkbook will say, stuff that's factually inaccurate, like the pie isn't getting any bigger. It gets bigger every single year. We know it gets bigger every year. And Joe Burrow's cap number this year is $29 million. It's not like he's taking up this giant piece of the pie that keeps them from signing Jamar Chase. And it's kind of been a given by everything Jamar Chase has said, the way he's conducted himself. He's expecting a contract after his third season. And, you know, this gets back to the whole thing about new money and old money. Because he's got 2 years left and he only makes $5 million this year, it's easier to give him a new contract that we could look at the new money and say, hey, he's the highest paid receiver in football, because that $5 million from this year and his money for next year, about $20 million, gets subsumed within that. It drives the total value down. It pushes the new money up. And that's the stuff all the agents want to parade around and say, look, we signed Jamar Chase to the richest contract in league history. It really isn't, but there's a way to characterize it that makes it look that way. This is the perfect time to do that if you're the Bengals.
Mike, I tell you, he is so damn good, man. Good, too. Just watching some of the highlights, just how good a player he's been. All right, so we're going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Justin Fields getting a chance now to be the starter. Russell Wilson's down. Is there a chance? They kind of made it sound like they wanted Russell Wilson to start the season. Justin Fields was going to play in certain situations, but was basically the backup. Is there a chance he plays well and they go, hey, Russell, things have kind of changed here in Pittsburgh? Could you see that happening?
Well, Joe, back in March, after Russell Wilson was signed and then they unexpectedly traded for Justin Fields, and I wonder how Russell Wilson felt when that happened. And, you know, publicly he can't say anything other than I'm fine with it. But Mike Tomlin said at the league meeting that Russell Wilson has pole position. Now, I don't watch a whole lot of auto racing, but I know enough to know that the person with pole position doesn't always win.
Right.
And in this case, right, in this case, as they're just getting out of the starting blocks or whatever they're called in auto racing, somebody blew a tire. So, you know, and here's the opportunity for Justin Fields to take the lead. What does he do with it? And I thought, until I got to know more about Caleb Williams and got to meet him and talk to him, I thought the Bears should just trade that first overall pick and keep Justin Fields, because we don't know what Justin Fields is going to be. Guys get chewed up and spit out so quickly in the NFL at the quarterback position. They don't get many chances to really develop. They have all sorts of adversity thrust onto them. There's coaching issues, teammate issues, ownership issues, and you're the guy who bears the brunt of it. How good could Justin Fields be? I think he's the most dangerous runner. We don't know what Jaden Daniels is going to do, but through last year, he was the most dangerous runner in the NFL at the quarterback position. So, you know, when you consider what he's done, when you consider what the Steelers have had at the quarterback position, when you consider how Russell Wilson's performed the last couple of years, is it crazy to think Justin Fields is going to end up with that job? And I know those Steelers fans, they're going to get a taste of Justin Fields this preseason. If Russell Wilson struggles at all, they are going to be chanting Justin Fields' name. And the other thing, too, it benefits the Steelers if he wins the job because he's more than 10 years younger.
Yeah.
Neither guy's under contract after this year. You want one of these two guys to be your starter next year, you're going to lean toward the guy who's younger and is going to be there for another 5, 7, 10 years.
Mike, I don't know how many of us are out there, but I'm with you. I think Justin Fields, and he's played great against the Dolphins, I think he's got a chance. I've not given up on that guy to go, nah, it didn't work out. I'm with you on that. Hey, Davante Adams, watching the receiver, and I thought Davante was really good. We got to see every kind of part of a receiver you could. The frustration of being on a bad team with bad quarterbacks and a bad coach, they couldn't wait, and then the family guy. We saw it all. And I'm looking and going, hey, Davante, you were frustrated last year. I can't wait to see the two guys going to be throwing to you this year. I'm not sure he makes it through this year in a uniform in Las Vegas. What do you think?
Well, he addressed it the other day, too. You know, he said right now it's a clean slate. And we saw it play out last year, how the frustrations manifest themselves. If they don't get better quarterback play, and he's feeling like he did last year, and the Raiders aren't relevant, when we get to the trade deadline, which is now the Tuesday after week 9, they moved it back a week. If the Raiders are done, and as a practical matter, when you look at the Davante Adams contract, this is his last year under the current deal. After this year, he's either getting cut or he's doing a dramatic reshuffling because he's due to make like $36 million in 2025. It was like Tyreek Hill's deal where they pump up the back end to make the average higher. So he's going to be gone anyway. So if we get to Halloween, trade deadline approaches, Jets are playing great, Raiders aren't, that's where this whole Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams reunion becomes relevant. And for now, everyone's throwing water on it because if the Raiders play great, he'll stay there. But if they struggle, and if the Jets don't, or if there's another team out there that's like, hey, we could, you know, we get this guy and this is the final piece of the puzzle, yeah, I expect that he'll be traded if the Raiders aren't relevant in 2024. And we know that by the time we get to week 8 or week 9, there's going to be teams that are thinking about getting what they can for their assets, especially guys who aren't going to be there next year.
Mike, we always talk down here for years doing shows with you. We always talk about offensive lines and struggling offensive lines and the Dolphins. Again, not sure how good this offensive line's going to be, helped out a lot by Mike's offensive system that he has in place. But is this going on all over the league still, where a bunch of teams are going, I still don't know how good our offensive line is, or you think most teams are feeling pretty good about them right now?
No. Look, I think that, you know, there's a challenge in the NFL nowadays, and I think this is one of the reasons why we see the officials – look the other way so often on holding, and that thing that the tackles do where they leave a half second before the snap and it doesn't get flagged. And if you watch a game, you see it all the time. That's a way to balance it out, Joe, because the defensive linemen, the pass rushers, are all badasses. And the best teams have 7 or 8 guys that get rotated in, and they're fresh on the defensive line. You got the same five offensive linemen. They're being overpowered by these guys. There was something the other day about the Aaron Rodgers injury, how Dwayne Brown, the left tackle of the Jets, was trying to cut block Leonard Floyd. It's like, well, you try to cut block Leonard Floyd, and he just jumps over it. And then what does he do? He tears your quarterback's Achilles tendon and destroys the prospects of your team for last year. So offensive line play is rough. And one of the things we learned after the 2011 CBA with the reduction in offseason workouts and the reduced intensity of training camp, it's a work in progress for the first month of the regular season. And look at teams like the Patriots, how long it takes them when under Bill Belichick to get to being as good as they were going to be. That offensive line play takes time. And it's really not until the regular season starts that they make their biggest strides.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Why do I do it? But this week I saw the 18 games starting back up again, and they're now starting to talk a little bit about it. Mike, the league wants to get this thing done like yesterday, don't they, to get to 18 games?
Joe, they got 14.1 billion reasons to start thinking of ways to come up with new revenue because of that Sunday ticket verdict. So what do you do? You get the union to agree to more games, you go to the networks and you redo the contracts, and you get more money. So they've wanted 18 games for more than a dozen years. They backed off after they realized, hey, you know, all this stuff we're doing with health and safety really doesn't mesh with playing more games, so we probably should stop pushing for more games. Then they moved it to 17. That was a stopover to 18. I think 18 is a stopover to 19, and 19 is going to be a stopover to 20, I think, at the end of the day. Because under the reasoning Roger Goodell always articulates, Joe, back when we were kids, 14 and 6. 14 regular season games, 6 preseason games, it was always 20. Then they moved it to 16 and 4, 20. Now it's 17 and 3, 20. 18 and 2, 20. At some point, it's going to be 20 and none, because Goodell says he hates preseason. It's not real football. Okay, and the more they can replace not real football with real football, the more money they're going to make. And the union, Joe, I made this point the other day. The union is being way too compliant on this. They need to fight in order to get the best possible deal. Even if you're not going to take a work stoppage over it, if you're ultimately going to say yes, that doesn't mean you say yes early, because the easier you make it for the NFL, they're not just going to say, oh, thank you for being cooperative. They're going to be pushing for more and more and more. So they're going to stand up and fight to get the best possible deal, and I'm afraid they're not going to.
Yeah, and I for sure, if it happens, and I'm guessing it is going to happen, we're looking at another bye week, right? We're starting with that. They'll throw that in right off the bat. Hey, we want to give you guys an extra week off, yes?
The problem is the networks didn't like it when it happened in 1993. Now, there were only 28 teams, but when you do two bye weeks, you really dilute each Sunday because more teams are off more frequently. And now that they've found more windows for games, that pulls games out of the Sunday mix. There's 32 teams now, so there's two more games in theory every weekend to play with. But that's going to be one of the issues. The networks have to be okay with it. And, Joe, you know, to the extent that Goodell threw out the idea of an 18th game pushing the Super Bowl to President's Day weekend, to make that work with an extra bye,
yeah,
you've got to start Labor Day weekend. That's something they ditched 25 years ago. Now, I'm a proponent of going back to Labor Day weekend because, you know, they stay away from it because nobody's home to watch TV. Well, how many people watch football on their TVs anymore anyway, right? You got it on your phone.
Yep.
And football's popular enough, they could start the season Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night. Five nights of primetime NFL football to start the season. You think people wouldn't lose their minds over that?
Yeah. Wow. Hey, Mike, good way to finish it up. And We'll be talking next week. Going to be interesting to see if any of these contracts get worked out or it's going to take a while, plus see who's healthy and who's not. Thank you so much, bud. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. See you, buddy.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.